Now, Hezekiah sends out a delegation to meet with him. Verse 3, then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh, verse 4, said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Now this man Rabshakeh very arrogantly expresses surprise that Hezekiah would even dare resist. And he wants to know the secret weapon in which Hezekiah trusts. And he suggests, first of all, that it might be Egypt. And he deals with these possibilities. And he then dismisses them as foolhardy. First of all, he says, is he trusting in Egypt? Well, he says in verse 6, lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt. And actually, Hezekiah was looking to Egypt, and he wasn't getting any help there. And in this sense, this man Rabshakeh is accurate. And then he suggests something else. Is it true that you are depending on your gods? Why, he says, don't you know Hezekiah has destroyed all the high places? You see, Rabshakeh had no sense of spiritual discernment. He didn't distinguish. He thought the worship out yonder, under those groves and on the hilltops with those heathen altars, was the same as the worship of the living God in Jerusalem. Had no discernment. And he just thought this man was destroying the worship of the people, so they had no God to turn to. And you know, today there are a great many people that make no discernment. Every now and then some person will write me, or some person says to me, well, after all, Dr. McGee, all the churches are the same. They're striving for the same place. They're just like old Rabshakeh. They don't seem to know that there's some difference. Well, he made a mistake here. And the third possibility that's suggested here by Rabshakeh reveals the haughty attitude of the Assyrian. There was the bare possibility that Hezekiah was dependent on his own resources and manpower to defend the city. And this is what he says. Verse 8, now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to thy master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou art able on thy part to set riders upon them. He says, well, now to just make things equal, why, he says, we'll give you 2,000 horses, and that will make us more or less even, and even then you wouldn't be able to win. And then he suggests the fourth reason. He suggests that Jehovah of Israel has sent the Assyrian against Jerusalem, and therefore Jehovah's on the side of the Assyrian. And every now and then, well, in World War I, the Germans thought God was on their side, and we thought he's on our side. And the interesting thing is, I doubt very seriously whether he's on either side. And in this particular case, it was true God had used the Assyrian to destroy his people, but he's not going to let him take Jerusalem. And Eliakim and Shebna, they said to Rabshakeh, they said, shush, don't speak so loud, and speak to us in your tongue. We understand it. Don't speak in Hebrew. Because you see, Rabshakeh, he was great at giving out propaganda. Enemies always do that. And he's yelling at the top of his voice as he's giving out these different reasons. Why? Because the wall is filled with soldiers. And he wants the word to get to Jerusalem, you see, and get past these emissaries. And this man, Rabshakeh, just causes him to talk a little louder. Then they go in and they bring word to this man, Hezekiah, of what was really happening. And it was a pretty sad situation, by the way. And so what's going to happen now? Well, he keeps on saying, he says, you don't listen to Hezekiah. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying that the Lord will deliver you. He's not going to deliver you. Well, here is what happened. Verse 22, then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, Shebna the scribe, Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, told him the words of Rabshakeh. Now, clothes rent, they speak of humiliation and shame. After all, it was said of Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed even as a flower. But clothes, you know, they say today, makes the man. Well, when clothes are rent, it speaks of humiliation and shame.